This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a glorious day to be together in this hour of worship, whether you are joining us here in person or joining us online. There are probably folks who are returning back from fall break today. Some are still exhausted after that football game yesterday. So in whatever way you're joining us, we are glad to be together. And I would invite all of us to take a moment and register our attendance. If you're here in the sanctuary, there are registration pads at the end of each row. If you'll sign those and pass them down and back up. And if you're worshiping online, there is a link you can copy into your browser and register that way to let us know that you're with us. If you are visiting with us and have been thinking about, praying about becoming an official member of the church and making this your church home, we do have an online new member class that will be starting on October 30th. It will meet over Zoom on Sundays from 6 to 7 for 4 weeks. And you can RSVP for that class at the website westendumc.org/membership and let us know so we can send you that link. This afternoon at 5 o'clock, we have our monthly service of Teze worship, a wonderful opportunity to enter into a time of singing and contemplative prayer. And we invite all and the whole community come and join us for that time of worship. A couple of other events I want to highlight for you that are coming up quickly. On Saturday, October 29th, we'll have our Trunk or Treat, which is sponsored by our preschool, but it is open to everyone in the congregation. There's lots of information in the bulletin about how you can sign up to bring, to decorate a trunk, to donate candy, or to RSVP for the barbecue dinner. And it's a wonderful, fun event for our whole community, and we hope that you can participate. The following day here at church, we'll have our annual town hall meeting at 9:45 in the four-story theater. That will also be live streamed and recorded. So if your Sunday school class already has plans for that day, we can get you hooked up so you can watch it together at another date. But it will be an update on how we are doing financially, what our hopes are for the budget next year, and an opportunity to highlight some of the wonderful ways that God has been working in and through this place over the past year. We're continuing our journey through Luke's gospel this morning. We hear a parable that teaches us some things about prayer and about justice. So let us open our hearts and minds to this hour of worship today.
Thank you. praise the Lord for God's steadfast love. We will proclaim God's faithfulness to all generations. God's steadfast love is established forever. God's faithfulness is as firm as the heavens. Let us praise God for all God's gifts. Blessed be God forever. Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confession with the confidence of children of God. From the least of us to the greatest, Lord, we want to know you. We yearn to follow where you lead us, and we need your guidance. But even as we listen for your direction, other voices compete for our attention with teachings that suit our desires. Holy One, open our hearts and minds. Teach and inspire us in the ways of your salvation. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us now exchange signs of reconciliation and love. And you can do this here in the sanctuary, however feels most comfortable for you. And for those of you that are with us online, send a text in the chat or reach out to people in your home. The peace of Christ be with you. One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Todd and Chrissy Madison bring their son to God before the community of faith for baptism.
My family in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. Yes, we are. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all of this is God's gift, offered to us without price. Todd and Chrissy, as you come now to bring your child for baptism and also to become members of this church, I ask you these ancient questions of the faith on behalf of the whole church. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say, I do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say, I do.
I do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to all people? If so, say, I do. And will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, say, I will. And for the two of you, as members of Christ's universal church, will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If so, say, I will. As members of the body of Christ in this congregation, called to be the loving light of Christ in the world, will you faithfully serve Christ in this place through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say, I will. My friends in the congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, say, we do.
We do.
And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include these friends now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround these persons with a community of love and forgiveness that they may grow in service with others. We will pray for them to be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through the water. After the flood, you set the clouds in the rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection, and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away sin and to clothe him in righteousness throughout his life, that dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen.
Amen. Will you come see me? What a smile you have. Oh, my goodness.
Hi there.
Hi. And what name have you given your son?
Theodore
Meyer. I baptize you in the name of God, the Father who created you, Christ the Son who redeems you, and the Holy Spirit, your advocate and comforter, who lives within you all the days of your life. Okay, Theo, we're going to get your parents to place a hand on you and Pastor Bill, and we're going to say a prayer for the gift of the Holy Spirit in your life. May the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your beautiful life. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, you ready to go for a little walk? Get a little closer to your church family? I think he said, yeah. He is ready. And so it is my joy and privilege, Theo, to introduce this beautiful church family to you. These are people who are going to love you, and they're going to show you what it looks like to follow Jesus. They're going to teach you how much God loves you, and that nothing will ever change that. Some of them may be Sunday school teachers, vacation Bible school leaders. One of them might even be your confirmation mentor. You want to go ahead and pick them out now? Maybe, yeah. This is your church family, and we will always love you just as God always loves you. So I want you to hear the promise that they're about to make to you and to your parents.
Face Todd, Chrissy, and Theodore Meyer, it is our joy to welcome our siblings in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Todd, Chrissy, and Theodore Madison to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. We give
thanks for all that God has already given you, Todd, Chrissy, and Theodore Meyer. And we welcome you in Christian love, as members together with you in the body of Christ,
and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the Church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Will you join me now in the prayer for illumination? Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Our lesson today is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, 1 through 8. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, 'Grant me justice against my opponent.' For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, 'Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?'" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'd like to invite all the children to come down and join me here for a moment. And if you're worshiping from home or while you're on vacation, just get a little closer to your screens. We're going to talk for just a minute about that amazing story that Miss Alice just read. Come on up. Good morning. Glad to see you all. Hi, hi, hi. Come on up. Welcome, welcome. Have a seat. I want to talk this morning about a couple of things that we can do with our hands. One of the things that I think God wants us to do, that Jesus was talking about in this story, is to pray. So we can pray with our hands. We do this sometimes to keep our hands still. Sometimes I like to pray like this with my hands open and up to kind of help me listen to God and just rest in God's love. We pray to God to be close to God and to know God. But then we can also use our hands to do things for other people, to share our toys with someone, or to make some cookies for someone, or if we know how to read and write yet, we can write a card or draw a picture for somebody. So let's say, for example, that you're a little worried about your grandpa because he's sick. You can pray for your grandpa, and in praying for your grandpa, you will know that God loves your grandpa and loves you, and that no matter what happens, God will be with you and God holds all of you. And then you can use your hands to draw a picture for Grandpa and to do something to show him how much you love him. So I want us to hold out our hands and let's pray for God to bless our hands as we follow Jesus. Gracious God, help us to pray, to talk to you every day, to share with you everything that is on our hearts, all our thoughts and everything we feel, because we know you'll always love us and always be with us. Help us also to use our hands to help other people, to do things that make a difference in people's lives. So bless our hands as they pray and as they work, and help us to be more loving just like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all for listening. So if you're 3, 4, or 5, you can go with Pastor Maggie and Miss Emily. Are you helping with Children's Church as well? Yep. She'll help you get over there. And if you're older than that, you can go back and sit down with parents or friends. We have this morning the parable that many have called the parable of the persistent widow. It's a parable about being persistent in our prayers and in our work. And so as I thought about the children's message, I thought about talking about how important it is to be persistent. But then I thought that might lead to mom, 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 mom. So having experienced that, I thought I'd go in another direction. But there is something about this parable that I find sort of funny. I don't know if Jesus' audience found it funny particularly, but maybe they did. The way that he portrays these two characters leads to sort of a humorous interaction. First of all, you have this judge who Jesus, the narrator, describes as having no fear of God and no respect for anybody. And then later in the parable, he admits it himself. Even though I have no respect for God or anybody, I'm going to help this lady because she's driving me nuts. Actually, the translation can also go this way. I will finally grant her petition, otherwise she may come and slap me in the face. We have this persistent woman who has no power in the situation except her boldness and persistence, and she uses that to drive the man crazy until she gets what she's asking for justice. And so there is a little something funny and humorous in these characters and in the nature of their interaction. And yet there's a lot about the story that is not funny. The widow's plight is not funny. The scriptures tell us from the Old Testament through the New Testament that the most vulnerable people in society are the widows and the orphans and the immigrants, those who are at the mercy of the kindness of others. A widow in Jesus' day would have been at the mercy of her husband's family or her own family to take her back in after the death of her husband, to provide for her. And if other family members refused to do that, she was destitute. And so we don't know the exact nature of what happened to this widow and what the injustice is or who her opponent is. But we can gather that she has been treated unfairly. There has been an injustice done to her. And so it is through her boldness and her persistence that she finally gets justice. And so as we look at this parable, there are some who say this is a parable about prayer. And there are others who say, no, it's really a parable about justice, the God of justice. And so what I want to do in the brief time we have this morning is to look at this parable from each of those lenses and see what it has to teach us and show us as the people of God. On the one hand, it is a parable about prayer. Luke tells us that. The narrator sets it up that this is a story Jesus told in order to teach people to pray always and not to lose heart, to keep praying and never give up, to be persistent and bold in our prayers. Now, prayer is a great mystery, and there's no way that we can begin to delve into that conversation about what is prayer in just a few minutes together. But one of the things I want to highlight here is the fact that this parable points us to the very nature of God. It's easy to read the parable and think that Jesus is saying that God is like this judge, and that it is up to us in our prayers to get God's attention, to get God to care, to make God work for us. And yet in the end, Jesus says, God is nothing like that. He does this little flip-flop that he does sometimes about how much more than. If this guy who had no fear of God and no respect for anybody was eventually able, willing to grant this woman's request because she drove him crazy, how much more does God long for justice and long for healing and long for peace and long for the well-being of all God's children? How much more quickly will God grant justice to those who cry out for it? So it's important to remember the dynamic of prayer is not us trying to change God's mind or us trying to manipulate God in some way. What I believe deeply about prayer is that the persistence of prayer is all about changing us. You know the old hymn, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. The second line goes, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Tune my heart. Get my heart in tune with your heart, God. As if God's heart, God's nature is a sound wave, and our prayers can help us, though we start off all over the place bringing to God all that we think and feel and want and desire, our persistence in prayer can tune our hearts to the heartbeat of God so that whatever the outcome, because we all know we don't always get exactly what we ask for in prayer, but through persistence, I believe we come deeper into that relationship with God that allows us to trust in the goodness of God, and what God wants for us is healing and hope and wholeness and justice. And we can be held in that love and that relationship through persistent prayer. So I believe the persistence in prayer shows a faith that God is good. Jesus is trying to offer his people hope. Remember that God does want justice. God does want our well-being. So keep praying for it and trusting that that is the heart of God. And through prayer, you'll come to remember that and believe it. So there's much that this parable can teach us about prayer. But there are others who say that this is really more of a parable about justice. Though the narrator sets it up as a story about prayer, Jesus doesn't use the word prayer in the parable, but he uses the word justice a lot. The widow keeps knocking on the door of the judge to get justice. She has been treated unfairly. She is at the mercy of others. And Jesus says, how much more will God grant justice to those who cry out for it? And so we can reflect on this practice of boldness and persistence when it comes to seeking God's justice. Now, justice is a big word, but in my mind it means the beautiful truth when all people are treated fairly and equally as God's children, when all people have the opportunity to flourish and to thrive, when the kingdom of God is manifest in our midst. It's what we work for and believe in as the people of God. And I can think of some examples of how boldness and persistence have worn down the most hard-hearted of politicians and leaders to bring about change. One that pops to my mind quickly is one that came out of our pilgrimage that we took to Montgomery. Many of you know there was a group from West End and a group from Gordon and Clark Memorial United Methodist Churches in Mount Pisgah, all historically black congregations. And we got on a bus, and we went to Anniston and Montgomery and Birmingham to visit some of the sites of the civil rights movement. On the way to Anniston, we heard the story of the Freedom Riders. One of the members of Gordon Memorial who died last year was Dr. Rip Patton, and he was part of this documentary that we watched on the bus that told some of that story. Now, in the early 60s, it was the rule of law, it was federal law, that you could not discriminate by the color of someone's skin on the buses that went between states. So interstate travel, everybody had the right to sit wherever they wanted to. But there were some states who were not abiding by that, who kept to the segregation Jim Crow laws. And so there was a group in Washington, D.C. of activists who thought of the Freedom Rides, that they would get on the bus together, black and white activists together, and they would ride from D.C. all the way down into Alabama to see what happened. When the bus got to Anniston, Alabama, there was an angry mob waiting for them. And they shook the bus and they followed the bus, eventually throwing a bomb into the bus. Thankfully, people were able to get out of the bus and no one died, but there were many injuries. And so the organizers of that movement decided to put a hold on it. It's too dangerous, it's too risky. But there was a group of students here in Nashville, led by Diane Nash and James Lawson and others, John Lewis, who wanted to keep those Freedom Rides going. And so they organized, the students organized, and they put people on buses here in Nashville and sent them down to Alabama. And those riders would get arrested, put in jail. They'd send down some persistence, bold persistence, just kept sending them down to Alabama, kept sending them down. And Rip Patton told the story of sitting in the jail. Those who'd been arrested were sitting around together and started singing, "Buses are a-comin', oh yes. Buses are a-comin', oh yes. Buses are a-comin', buses are a-comin'." And the guards would get angry. They'd say, "Stop singing. Coming down from Nashville, oh yes. Coming down from Nashville, oh yes. If you keep singing, we're going to take your mattresses away. You can take my mattress, oh yes. You can take my mattress, oh yes. If you don't stop, we're taking your toothbrushes away. You can take my toothbrush, oh yes." They started singing like that with their mouths closed. That holy humor, that bold persistence in the face of injustice. They just kept singing and buses kept a-coming. And it was through that kind of bold, prayerful persistence that some change happened. I hesitated to use that example in some ways because it was 60 years ago and we have our own struggles for justice in our own day. I also struggle because these are some of the heroes of the faith that get celebrated today, and it's easy for us to think, well, I'm not Diane Nash and I'm not John Lewis. But we were talking about this in Bible study and I learned something about one of our church members I didn't know. One of our church members who's an attorney goes to the courthouse every week and spends a few hours helping people who are about to be evicted. And they don't have legal counsel. And they walk into that courthouse, and it's overwhelming if you've been in the courthouse. They have no one to advocate or stand with them or help them navigate. And he comes alongside them, and he helps translate the legal system. And he mediates between them and the landlord so that they can have some options and will keep it off their record that they've been evicted so they'll have a better chance next time. I've known him for years and I didn't know he did that. And I know there are so many of you who do that work day in and day out in the schools, in the hospitals, on the streets, working persistently and boldly for God's justice, for God's healing, for the kingdom of God to come upon the earth as it is in heaven. So maybe this parable isn't an either-or parable. Maybe it's about prayer and justice. Prayer that leads us and shapes us into the heart of the God of justice and guides us into action. Before we set the parable down, we can take one more look back at it. And I wonder if the character who's most like God in this story is not the judge, but the widow. If it is God who is knocking on the door of our hearts, knocking on the door of humankind, crying out for justice for all. And it is our invitation to open the door and listen and respond. Mm-hmm.
Having heard the word, let us join together in the affirmation of faith
found on 883. Let us stand. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the God. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, the Word, Judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. As we come to our prayer time together, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. And if you would like to share them with the pastoral team to pray for throughout the week, please follow the link under Contact Us on our website, or if you are here in the sanctuary, there are gray cards in the pew racks in front of you, and you can place those in the offering plate as you have shared your concern. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of us all, we celebrate today the ways in which you reach out and surround humanity with your love and justice. With your guiding and comforting spirit, and in your meeting us where we are in our life journey. Your reaching love prompts us to respond in ways that reflect your love, especially as you point us to the goodness you would have revealed, you have revealed to us in and through Jesus. You invite us to share with you in prayer as we move through our day-to-day life journey. Help us to persevere in opening ourselves to you in prayer and to not lose heart. Give us the vision and insight to find the ways of reconciliation and understanding that build up one another rather than injuring or demean or negate one another. Let your truth expressed in Jesus guide us to the ways which enable us to bear truth to one another in love. Enable us to see the ways your justice, tendered with mercy, becomes a foundation for the ways we relate to and treat one another. Continue to be an abiding presence with families as they nurture one another, as they share with one another, and as they live out that covenant of love which binds parents with each other, parents with their children, children with their parents, children with each other, and in the relationships with the extended family members. Open our eyes to see one another as brothers and sisters in your family on earth. Clear our ears to hear the cries of the needy, the injured, those living on the margins of life, those seeking justice, that we can respond as we extend your love and justice. Engage our minds. that we may see with greater clarity the ways of living with one another with an expanded understanding and less division. This, O God, is our prayer, which we lift to you in the name of Jesus Christ, who invited those who would follow him to pray in this manner. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now share our gifts together and after offer them to God in gratitude and thanksgiving and praise. Those of you joining us online are invited to give via the options you will find on this screen. While here in the sanctuary, we will pass the offering plates down the rows in order that you may share your gifts today. May we give with joy as we offer our offerings today.
give thanks to God for the Reverend Bill Miller, a member of our West End family who helped us in leading liturgy today. And to say a word to those, especially if you're visiting with us after the benediction, you are invited to go into the narthex and Reed Hall to visit, or many folks will sit back down and enjoy the closing voluntary as a final hallelujah of our worship. The choice is yours. I'll be there in the narthex to greet you as you leave this morning. And as we leave this morning, we go forth, as the hymn said, to repeat the actions of God's will in the world. Let us be persistent in prayer and in action, and in that may we know God, love God, and our neighbor in all things. Amen.